speak love one to another.
Yes, Lord.
And to tell of your wonderful love for us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, just anoint a conversation.
Yes,
I ask
Lord.
It in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we're in the 15th chapter of Romans, moving right along, aren't we? I'm kind of proud of us. And we got up through 7, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. And I think we should start at 8.
All right.
And try to get, and you know how we read through and start and going, go to 13. Okay? Buddy and Brenda. You're on.
I did it last week.
You're up, Brenda.
All right. For I tell you that Christ, the Messiah, became a servant and a minister to the circumcised, the Jews, in order to show God's truthfulness and honesty by confirming, verifying the promises given to our fathers, and also in order that the Gentiles, nations, might glorify God for his mercy, covenanted to them, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Again, it is said, rejoice, exalt, O Gentiles, along with his own people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And further, Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout from the root of Jesse, he who rises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yes. Exalt. Praise him.
13.
Yes.
Well, I see in there that what that those verses say to me is that Jesus is all and in all and for all. I just love that. It kind of laid it right out for you. That whatever it is you need, and from whatever group of humanity you come from, he is your answer. You know, he has come for you, no matter who you are. I really love the way it said it in the Passion Bible. He says, it kind of just moves along. He says, I'm convinced that Jesus, the Messiah, was sent as a servant to the Jewish people, number one, to fulfill the promises God made to our ancestors and to prove God's faithfulness. See, so what they needed, he came to give, you know? And in Jesus, every prophet, every word of the Old Testament has been fulfilled, whether we see it or we don't, whether we know it or we don't. It is. It is because I am, the great I am.
Yes.
And now, because of Jesus, the non-Jewish people of the world can also glorify God for his kindness to them, fulfilling the prophecy of Scripture. Now, one of these translations says something about God's kindness. He says his grace. I mean, it is all God's grace. And it is God's grace to them, fulfilling the prophecy of Scripture. Because of this, I will proclaim you among the nations, and they will hear me sing praises to your name. And in another place, it says, you who are not Jewish, celebrate life right alongside his Jewish people. I mean, we're not two anymore. We are one, you know? No matter who we are, in Christ all are one. We are only one, you know? And again, it says, Praise the Lord Yahweh, all you who are not Jews, and let all the people of the earth, all the people of the earth, how many? All the people of the earth. Wow. Raise their voices in praises to him. And Isaiah prophesied, an heir to David's throne will emerge. Wonder who that was. I'm sure it was Christ Jesus. I'm sure it was the crucifixion. I'm sure it was his resurrection. But I'm sure also that it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what I mean? In this earth, we are to be as he is in this earth. For all their hopes will be met in him. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you with overflowing, fill you to overflowing, with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually, oh, I love that word, yes. Continually surround your life with his superabundance. Until you radiate with hope. Oh, I mean, that sentence will knock you right down to the ground if you really stop to think about what it's really saying to you. And anything, I want to tell you, I had a situation yesterday where someone was telling me so many things that did nothing but inspire fear in me, bring me, you know, make me fearful. Make me feel that, you know, and then it's, you know, at the very end, oh yeah, but God's got this. You know what? I've got to, this is, to me, this is my responsibility to stay in connection with the Spirit of God and to stay in perfect peace and keep my mind up. That's where the only battle is left, to keep my mind stayed on him, and to keep the joy. I gotta read that one last thing again. I think I ought to read this every morning. Now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflow with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope.
That's beautiful.
That's what the world is peeking over that fence to try to see. They want to see us radiating with that hope. And that radiating with that hope is only coming with realizing we are one with each other. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. It's true. Okay, somebody, take off. That's beautiful.
Everybody looking at everybody. Come on, everybody, we got something to give.
Y'all have something. I know. I
appreciate. You know what you said before, Kathy, when you talked about you know, us being, when it talked about him being an heir, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says we're heirs and we're joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically said everything that is his is ours also, as we move and flow in him, you know. And I preface that with that because, you know, we have to move and flow with him to obtain that inheritance. You know, there's provisos in the inheritance. You know, it's like anything else. You know, a lot of times people will inherit money or something, and then they'll put some little clause in there and says, yeah, but you don't get it until you're 25 or something. You know, why? Because when you're 15 or 18, a lot of times you ain't got a whole lot of sense. You know, and by the time you get 25, you've kind of mellowed out and got a little bit of sense. And you know, the thing is that he's allowing us to grow up into that same image that he is, and that's that he was the pattern son, and you know, we're a part of that, And we're going to grow up into that fullness as we come from glory to glory. We're being changed into that very image, you know.
I think it's so interesting that no matter what scripture, okay, I mean, mm-hmm. we're studying and we're going from here to here. And in that little thing, it seems like if you look at it correctly, it's always joyful. It's always faith-producing. It's always hope. It no matter what it is you're reading,
yeah.
if you're connected, mm-hmm. you are going to see hope and peace and glory and joy and abundance and everything in there. I haven't come in here one Sunday morning yet. Except for the one where they said we have to be careful what we eat. I don't like that. But you know, every single Sunday morning, every word breathes hope into me, you know?
And the thing about be careful what you eat, the bottom line on that is whatever we do, that we don't offend our brother,
exactly.
and that we are conscious of things that would offend them, yeah. whether it's what we eat or what we, you know. The bottom line was not to be offended.
Exactly.
You know, even if you take that up into a spiritual level, be careful what you eat, basically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We have to watch what we eat mentally, you know
yeah.
what I mean? What we
oh.
take in
mm-hmm.
mentally, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of negativity out there in the world. And we don't need to constantly be taking that negativity. We need to be a positive people, a people that knows that God's in control and believe. You know, I've believed in the sovereignty of God for a long, long time, and I've taught that for a long, long time. You know, and you know, when the Lord first started dealing with me about the sovereignty of God, I was just a baby Christian, basically. You know, I had just given my life to the Lord, and boy, He opened that up to me right away. And I can remember when I first started talking about that, I got a lot of kickback on
mm-hmm.
that. Got a lot of people tell me,
can't believe
you
that.
Can't really believe that, you know. Well, yeah, I do, you know. And you know, even bless Brother Eddie. I love Brother Eddie, and I appreciate him as a spiritual father in the Lord for a long time, you know. But even with him, it took him years to where he started actually preaching and believing in the sovereignty of God. I remember the first time that Ray Prinzing came through here one time talking about the sovereignty of God. And I remember being in some meetings with Brother Eddie, and he was struggling with that a little bit, you know. But you have to realize that not everybody has full insight into everything in the Lord. You know, we all know in part, and we all prophesy in part. And God is, he's opened up things to us in our generation here that people years ago, they didn't see this. You know, they didn't understand it. And a lot of them still don't understand it because they followed the traditions of the elders, and it makes the word of God of no effect in those areas, you know, to them. But, you know, the neat thing about it is that we should be very positive in most situations. And we all fall into some negativity at times. But usually what happens in the negative part is God allows the positive to flow into the negative, just like in, you know, natural, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. I mean, electricity, you have to have a positive line, you have to have a negative line. It's, you know, the power comes through one line and goes back through the negative line, back to its source. And, you know, even in our lives, a lot of times when we find ourselves in a negative situation, it's really because God's going to use that negativity somewhere to flow the positive into it,
yeah.
and change it, you know, into something that completes a circuit, you know. I was thinking about what it says in James, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations and stuff. Count it all joy. Well, do we always count it all joy?
No.
Not always, but we should, and we're getting there, you know, to where we acknowledge Him in all the situations and circumstances. And once we do that, I think we're going to walk in such a peace and power and authority that we're going to accomplish what you said about that inner glory breaking to the outside, basically. And you know, people are desiring to see that in a people, and they'll see it in us. as the Lord reveals himself in us, you know, to the world, and he will. It's a matter of time. It's happening more and more on a daily basis, you know.
And I believe that it's all God. Uh-huh. You know, we are the one in the linen garments. We are the ones that, you know, it's a no sweat thing.
Yeah.
If we stay in his presence, you know, that's the only thing. Just be there. Just be there. Be able to be teachable. You know what I mean? Then God is bringing about the circumstances mm-hmm. of our maturity.
Right.
And that is a way to put it. That means, you know what? Sometimes it's not all going to be, you know, lollipops and rainbows and little, you know, flying horses.
Unicorns.
Unicorns. Thank you very much. Sometimes it's going to seem.
God is always moving forward. You're going to have your ups and downs, your experiences. Yeah. Makes you grow, mature.
I think as we stay close to God, that what happens is we get back into that Joseph mode where they meant it for evil, but he meant it for good. Mm-hmm. And we got to realize whatever comes our way has to go through his word, and whether it be negative or whatever, because God can take a negative and make it very positive in us. I mean, that's the way he changes us. I mean, we don't change ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, you know, I was thinking in the scripture where it says he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind.
Yes.
And I mean, I know I didn't finish that, but the whole thing is, I mean, we should be in this earth and on this earth stable. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like that word, mm-hmm. but in God, that's a good word. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, not changing. Who's that remind you of? God don't change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so we should have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying, even through a negative source, mm-hmm. to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, when them opportunities come, and I do believe it's an opportunity, when those opportunities come, we're not supposed to chastise. He will work in us, mm-hmm. give the person hope. And I mean, you know, because it has to be God. I fall real short giving people hope, but I mean, I try, but guess what? Quit trying. Can't do it. What you can do, you can encourage the Christ in them. But you know what? A lot of times it's hard to see the Christ in them, mm-hmm. because of what they're saying. But the truth is, he's in them. You know, when we read the scripture the other day where it says, when a man stumbles and falls, yeah, you find him in a fault. A man. It didn't say a brother.
That's right.
I mean, it said a man.
Right.
So guess what? We're going to run into a lot of people that are like that. And I think God wants us to realize how they are. I always look at people and say, well, if you have hope in this life only, you're most miserable.
What did he tell us to do when we see a person overtaken in a fault?
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Yeah, you, which are spiritual. If you're gonna move in the spirit, you're gonna be a restorer.
Right, that's right.
That's what it amounts out to. Not a bring them downer.
Right.
You know, you don't want to bring them down worse. You want to bring restoration to them. And I love the word hope. You know, the actual word hope, you know, has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure.
Uh huh.
Okay. Well, what are you anticipating? You're anticipating God's presence, God's yeah. love, God's forgiveness, all mm-hmm. of those things. And Scripture also tells us that we're saved by hope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why is that? It's because we're constantly anticipating what God's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, you know, there's good and bad. There is no bad in God. You know, they said to Jesus one time, good master. And he said, well, why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but God. Mm-hmm. So the all goodness comes from God and is part of God. So, you know, no matter what's happening in our lives, it's not bad. It might seem bad at the time to us, but it's really all a part of even the growth process in God, you know. But I like what that was good what you were saying, Clyde. That's very good.
You know, when we look at somebody, let's say a man again, when we look at that man, I don't know how you guys do it, but I usually cry out to God. I would see Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if I don't see Jesus, am I getting that emotional thing and be on the attack mode? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
And God don't want us to be on the attack mode. He wants us to be on the praising mode, that he does all things well. That's which he began, he's going to finish. And he will. Mm-hmm. That's what his word says. He'll finish it. He'll bring it back. He'll bring it around to where it's finished. What does it say? He that has begun a good work in you will see it what?
It's a day of completion, basically, if you want to put it in modern terms.
My God.
Yes.
But
well, when I read 13, it brought me back to something that I saw yesterday on TV that really kind of troubled me. It was on one of the news channels, and it showed on the bottom, you know how stuff scrolls on the bottom, and it mm-hmm. said, poll shows that people are starting not to believe in God. And more people. And, you know, when I read that, I thought, how can someone not believe in God? You know? Mm-hmm. And with this, you know, like I said, may the hope of God, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, that this one line, this mm-hmm. one verse right here,
verse.
Is so appropriate for the time we live in right now. It's insane. I mean, now is when people should be going and leaning on God, and yet people run around. There's so much fear. Like you said earlier, there's so much negativity going on right now. Mm-hmm. All anybody sees is the negativity. And that's what goes back to what you were saying, Clyde, that it's our responsibility to encourage people and to show them that God is in control and that, mm-hmm. that hope, there is hope.
Well, see, it's good that it says now the God of hope. Mm-hmm. And how did he show himself as the God of hope? He showed himself being the God of hope by presenting Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. by coming in the form of his Son, who died for the sins of the whole world, who forgave the sins of the whole world. But yet the whole world doesn't believe that he forgave them. So they walk around in condemnation, and they walk around in a agitated, grumpy, terrible state, you know, because they don't believe. And, you know, everybody that they put faith in the natural ends up failing them eventually because, you know, God's not going to let you get somebody in the natural on a pedestal. You get them on a pedestal, he's going to knock them off there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, remember what happened when the Philistines, when they stole the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. See, they figured, well, they'll take the power of God away from the children of Israel, mm-hmm. because that was a type of the power of God back then. So what do? They take it and they set it in their temple area. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
Their God
falls down face first in front of the thing. Their fish god or whatever it was,
yeah.
Dagon, you know. And you know what? Everything out there in the world that people makes to be a god, it's going to end up falling down on its face,
yes.
before God.
Yes.
And you know, as we see that happen, sometimes it's harsh to see people get in that mode of where it's just destroying them, because boy, they had this thing really high, man, it was a great thing. Well, no, it's not great. If God is the only good and great thing that there is, and anything that's not really of God is going to, it's going to collapse, and it's going to bow down before him, you know. And what did they end up finally doing? They finally ended up returning the thing, because they were having diseases and all kind of things, because it they weren't supposed to have that.
Lesson learned.
So they weren't blessed.
And what's happening out in the world today? A lot of people aren't believing in God. And all kinds of things are hitting them, and they're, you know, left and right. And everything that you put faith in, he has a way of taking that faith away from you. You put faith in the economy, and boy, he can take the economy away from you. You put faith in your bank account, and you have that, what was that place down there in Elmwood that went down, that big building and loan place years and years ago?
I see women.
It was that,
it was the crooked guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what
Keating
ended up being.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Keating, yeah, it was Keating. And it was that, he had that big building loan place or whatever it was, a big banking thing. That whole thing collapsed. And how many people had their money tied up in that and lost everything, you know? Well, that's the thing, see, is, you know, nothing in this world is stable other than God. And people will have to come to that conclusion eventually. And, you know, the neat thing about it is that even when you come down to a place where you have nothing, God can send Elijah to ask you to give the what little you got. And if you're obedient and do it, guess what? He can sustain you.
Yeah.
The barrel never runs runs empty, and the cruise of oil never runs dry. You know, when you think of a cruise of oil, you think of maybe a big barrel of oil or something, or a barrel or something. It was just a small, like, plate thing. Just had a little bit of oil in it. Didn't have hardly nothing. Because she was gonna take that meal and put a little bit of oil with it, cook her and her son a cake. So that's not much, a little cake, you know, so they could eat and die, you know. But the neat thing is guess what? The Lord says that, and God had, and he told Elijah when he came down there, said, and God has spoken to a woman. But she didn't say when he came down there, oh yeah, God told me. God had spoken to her, but she didn't even know God had spoken to her, because down inside, that Spirit of Christ was welling up in her that made her do that. You know, because what's a mother going to give the last food they got for the little baby or the little boy or whatever to a stranger coming by? No, not without God really moving on them or not. So, you know, but the neat thing is all of this stuff that we see going on, all these tribulations and trials and all these things, God's in it all. He's in it all, and he knows exactly how to reach the right people at the right time. And he will, and it'll all end in righteousness, you know.
I've seen that was I'm not gonna do no names or anything, but where a person out of their experiences and has done great things and become well known, and then maybe something is set up about them and through, and then people have come to me and I have talked to some and made them like a god and are actually worshiping.
Right.
They don't think they are, but they are
right.
Worshiping this individual who never intended for this to be. All they were doing was standing for what had been, what God had done for them and through them, and had and like a, now like a movement almost is, yeah, because it's a family member of mine that's involved, you know, in it, and I've been concerned about misplaced
value.
Yes.
Trust.
And honor, and that misplaced, that the individual that that they're looking to and exalting never intended for it to be this. He just had shared of his experiences and his freedoms and the things really that God had done for them, in them, and really through them. And not for it to become really like, well, just to me it's like a movement, you know. And so, and the person is very intelligent, very, And
a matter of praise, really.
And they, yeah, because they, that's what it's, and I have been concerned, you know, about it, because it's just, to me, misplaced. And not at all what God intended, nor the individual that is being exalted intended.
You know, I had a situation years ago where I was working at this one company, and I ended up witness to this young guy. You know, he was a young fellow, and him and some of his youth group were going to this church, and they were kind of meeting outside of the church, you know, some. And you know, I witnessed some things to him that the Lord had shown me, you know, and stuff. And he started talking to me about, he brought some people to my house one time, and I didn't really ask him to do that. You know, he brought a couple people, and I felt like the Lord checked me and said, no, don't do this, you know. And I didn't do it. And then he was wanting me to come and get involved with that youth group, see. But I felt like, no, I wasn't supposed to do that, because I felt like it would have got all completely out of balance. Mm-hmm. You know, they were looking for somebody to be the leader, somebody to look up to, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I've always told everybody, even in this church, don't get your eyes on Oscar, because you get your eyes on Oscar, I will disappoint you. Keep your eyes planted on Jesus. Now, yeah. God uses me sometimes. He uses all of you sometimes. I don't put people in high esteem, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's going to devastate me when they fall short in an area. You know, that thing I carried in my billfold, I know why the Lord had me carry that. Mm-hmm. You know, I never held Brother Eddie on a pedestal. I loved Brother Eddie. I appreciated him. I was supportive of him, you know. But there was times when Brother Eddie would ask me what I thought about something, and I'd tell him, and then he would totally reject me, you know. But I think the things that I told him, I felt like was what the Lord told me to tell him. And there was times when he didn't go along with that. But that was okay, you know. And, you know, but that didn't make me not love him any less or anything. But it's one of those situations to where the thing I've told you all that was the greatest piece of advice I ever got was my mother saying, learn to know God for yourself. Nobody else can know him for you. And a lot of people get to a situation in ministries and other things, or whatever they're in, where they will start looking to somebody else to be their answer. Well, somebody else is not going to be your answer. I mean, God might use them to help answer some things for you at times, but, you know, you have to be very, very careful in that, because, you know, the natural tendency in man is, especially even with men, I'll say this even maybe more, you know, if you start telling a man how great he is and how wonderful he is and all that stuff, I mean, it puffs him up. You know, pride goes before a great fall, you know, and you get puffed up. And you know, there's none of us good. I told you, I had a person say to me one time that a certain person should never be able to get in the pulpit. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you straight out, there ain't one person that climbs up there that deserves to be up there. Mm-hmm. Not one, me included. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. You know, God uses people. He uses our imperfections because he puts his perfection inside of us. It's nothing of ourself. And that's where you even got to be careful in the deeper truth message, is sometimes you hear them, people get exalted, and you can hear the exaltation, mm-hmm. that they're exalting themselves, mm-hmm. above other people. And I got news for you, unless you have the heart of a servant, mm-hmm. He that would be great among the kingdom, let him do what?
Be servant of all.
And if you don't have the heart of a servant, the Lord told me that a long time ago about that. If you don't have the heart of a servant, you know, Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. I came to serve, you know. And if Jesus came to serve, then guess what we're called to do?
Yeah.
We're called to serve too. And you know, and we, you know, not need to not think of ourselves, like I'll say in Romans 8, I think it's Romans 8. 12, where it says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Because if we start thinking real highly of ourselves, and that's the only thing about there's a balance in the deeper truths, because they have a tendency that they're exalting man, and let God do the exalting. God will do the exalting. You don't have to exalt yourself. And, you know, I think
sometimes people recognize a Christ in someone and their strong relationship. They're like, they come up, like they brought a group to see you into your house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that then they want to be around, and really they're drawing from what they're seeing in you instead of knowing God for themselves.
Well, and the thing about it is, it might have been all right had that happened, had the Lord gave me the okay for that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He didn't give me the okay. He actually had me draw back from that, because I felt like it would have gotten out of balance as far as those people were concerned, you know. And you know, I've always told the Lord, please don't let me ever move into anything that I'm not ready for, that you haven't prepared me to be ready for, you know. And I you know, I can only speak for what God does with me. I can't speak for what he does with everybody else. I don't know. But I tell you this, sometimes, and I will say this, you know, the one brother that came the one time, and he was, I think that brother's a super, super teacher in the world. And the Lord took him home. He was only 50-something years old, you know. And, but when he stood up in front of the church and said, I can take you into the deep end of the pool and drown you, I thought, oh. I mean, I sunk, because I thought, you're exalting yourself, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know us. You don't know where God's got us at. Mm-hmm. Some of these people sitting out here might take you into the deep end of the pool and drown you if you'll listen. You know what I mean? And I was thinking, and then we came out of the service, and he was sitting out in the front, and Audrey went up to him, and she started talking to him. And she told him, she says, you know, brother, she says, you don't look healthy. And he kind of pulled back a little bit, and I could tell him kind of bristled at that a little bit. And she told him, she says, you're not very healthy, you know. And I think she was talking about physically, but I felt like, you know, like I say, he was a tremendous teacher. And I mean, I have some of his books, and we've all read his books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very good. Excellent, you know, excellent. But you can get where you begin to start believing your own press to a certain extent. You know, you get a little too high in yourself. And, you know, I wasn't surprised when maybe a year or two later they said they found him dead laying at his desk. You know, God took him. And he wasn't that old, you know. He was only in his late 50s then, you know. And
Clyde, you got something to
say? Yeah, I want to read this. It says, through the power of the Holy Ghost, hope cannot be conjured up by man's effort.
Right.
It is God's gift by his Spirit. I mean, that kind of, if you think more highly than yourself, that'll kind of bring it to end there.
Right.
But, I got kind of put on the, read the Riot Act, I guess. Because I started calling Brother Eddie, Brother Eddie. I said, and the Lord told me, he said, ask him what he calls Charles. That's what he called Charles. He said, Charles. I said, you call me Clyde. I'm going to call you Eddie. Charles was his brother. In first the natural and then the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And people come up to me and say, you disrespect Eddie. I go like this. I don't think so. Because I was getting what the Lord was giving me. I wanted him to be able to, well, a few times we went out to lunch together. And I mean, just, he was almost starving to go out and break bread with somebody. I mean, you know, of course he never did say that to anybody, but you could tell. He was enjoying himself. You know, I have seen so many things since we've been in the church. Like, I remember going to my first board meeting, I won't say who said this, but I found out in our first board meeting that I was basically making $350 a week back then, and Brother Eddie was making $100 and a half. I said, oh, we got to change that. Oh, no, no. And this brother said, we've learned that if you keep them poor, you'll keep them.
Oh.
And I said, what you ought to learn is with the whole no good thing to them that it is due. And I said, he's got two daughters. They're going to want to go to college. I said, we should help with that. And, oh, no, oh, no. So we before I left that meeting, we had him up to 350. And then it was about a month or two later, we voted to get him a new car. I mean, I do believe, you know, what, don't muzzle the ox, that,
that's,
you know,
right.
That
treads the corn.
That's right.
I mean,
it's
what we was actually doing, according to them, we was actually saying, you're not worth any more than that. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the world.
I mean, you know, I couldn't help that they had been with the company for a long time, and they weren't making more than that themselves. You know.
When Mike read that thing that was on TV, because I saw it too, about that there are fewer people these days who believe in God. That's exactly what it said. I didn't feel negative about that, because I see they've given up believing, I think, in the menu of God that's being presented to them in
right.
The organized religion is giant. You know, most 70, 80, 90% of people who call themselves Christians belong to big organized churches, and they go, you know, and they get the, you know, their little chanticleer that tells them what the order of the service today is going to be, and God help anybody that gets in the way of that. You know, and what they are experiencing is not God. You know, I remember saying to somebody the other day, Jesus is either enough or he's not. Which is it? You know, is it Jesus and do not, you know, do this, do not do that, don't go to movies, don't do this. You know, Jesus is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You have never disappointed God. God knows everything about it. He knows everything you're going to do before you do it. How can you disappoint him? You know? Disappointing my mother was doing something she thought I'd never be capable of doing. God knows everything I'm capable of doing, you know? So I don't see that as a negative thing. I see people who have been disillusioned in this troubling day saying, this isn't working. And I think God's been trying to tell them that for a long, long time. This isn't working. Find what's real. Cling to me. Cling to God, you know? Find the real, your real source of hope. It's not in, you know, this ministry or that ministry, or, you know. I don't mean to put down organized churches, but you cannot be saved by religion, you know? You have to be saved by Christ's death on the cross. And your absolute, the most important thing is your relationship with him, period.
And there are some people in these organized religions,
yes,
that have deep relationships,
yes,
with God. They're
right.
Sitting in the midst of it, but
right.
That they have a deep relationship with God. Because when you look back and see that when those nuns, this is back in what, the 60s or 50s were, meeting, they would meet together, and that how God baptized them with the Holy
yes, sir.
Spirit, and it was just out of them coming together and singing unto the Lord and worshiping him, and out of in their hunger and what was within them, God baptized them with the Holy Spirit.
I was in a group like that.
I heard the nun.
The sister who was my choir director that I loved with all my heart, oh baby, she could go. Because, you know, that's exactly what it was. And there were a lot of nuns in there that
love for God,
that found the Holy Spirit, found, you know, just, oh, it was amazing.
Well, I think basically what we've all talked about here is that we realize that God is the one who places that hope in us.
Mm-hmm.
He is our hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the anchor of our soul. He's the one that will keep us, you know.
He drew us.
He that's right. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He's our all in all. And when he becomes our all in all, then, you know, and truly becomes our all in all,
yes,
we will have met, ascended into that place in him that is what everybody's waiting to see, you know, to a certain extent.
And that's the whole thing. When I saw the pole, when you think about the pole,
uh-huh,
we were talking about, it's what it is people are impatient. They're waiting on God. They're not seeing him move the way they want to see him move. And they're not being patient enough to wait to see what he's really going to do.
Yeah.
And so they've lost their faith.
We're not,
they've
just
lost
doing
their faith.
Nothing. We're anxiously expecting.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay.
Well, waiting doesn't always mean not doing anything. It means waiting until you have a direction and then doing something.
Yeah.
You know, following the leading of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis.
There's a lot of people out there today are saying, "Hey, what? Do something, God. Why aren't you doing
in
something
this
right
world,
now?
Yeah.
Well, what makes you think he is?
Like, there he is. Here. I've overcome the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we live in a society of do, you know.
Yeah.
do, you know, all the time. And it becomes do when you get down to it, you know.
I consider that generation the microwave generation.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted it yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll take it.
But you can't talk to God like that. Oh, you can. Good luck with that. How's that turn out? How's that working out, right? And but the facts are, first of all, God's an awesome God. He has all intentions of sharing life with us.
Yeah.
We're talking about creator of heaven and earth and giving us life and giving it to us abundantly.
Yeah.
Now, I know you think about this life a lot, but I believe everybody in this room is not miserable, because your hope is from above. What's it say? Look up. Your strength draweth nigh, right? I mean,
we're in the world, but not of it.
Well, praise the Lord.
Well, time to close with prayer. Debbie, would you?
Sure.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the day, and we praise you in it. Many see no hope, but we see you. And we thank you for comforting our hearts together. You are our hope. We just praise you for that.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.